This is Scott Berguin of KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We have on the phone Edgar Pagaza of the United Farm Workers Union. He is the Media Relations Coordinator. Good afternoon, Edgar.
Good afternoon, Scott. How are you?
Very good. Where are you at right now?
Well, right now I'm in Glendale, here in Los Angeles.
Okay, all right.
In fact, I could see outside my window some brush fires.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, from Burbank.
Oh, that's right. There's a pretty big one, I guess.
Well, it seems contained. This one, at least, is a good thing.
Okay, well, that is good. That's kind of it's not all that uncommon, is it?
No, not here at all. No.
Okay. Well, Edgar, if I did get it right, you're the Media Relations Coordinator for the United Farm Workers Union. Is that the right thing to call it now? You know, it used to be just the United Farm Workers. It was the United Farm Workers Organizing Committee many years ago.
Right. Well, we're now the United Farm Workers of America. That's the official title.
Okay. All right.
You know, but we're still known as United Farm Workers.
Okay. Well, I'm as a person who had some involvement, you know, in my local area anyway, actually up here in Oregon, way back in the early 70s with the grape boycotts and the wine boycotts and so on, I've got a warm spot in my heart for the United Farm Workers. And I'm hoping that other people who will listen to this interview will have the same. Well, if not, they'll gain a warm spot in their heart. Tell us what the United Farm Workers are up to.
Okay. Basically, there's been a lot of stuff happening lately within our union, and the last month has been very, very exciting in a way, and also very busy because of all these things that have been occurring. We had the Gumar elections, which Gumar is a vineyard company up in the area of Delano and Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And this company is actually the biggest grape growers in the nation. And they have over 3,000 employees currently working for them at this particular company. And we tried last month, or actually, well, there's still this current month of September, to organize and have these 3,000 workers join the union. And it's something that has yet to be resolved. What's been happening is that after the votes were counted, there was a very, very small number of, I would say about 171 votes, a very small margin where they actually won the election, but by a very, very minimal vote count.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let me rephrase what I was just talking about, the votes. There are actually, at the moment, 171 votes that are still being contested.
Okay.
The reason why is because we have several employees of the Gumar company that claim that they were harassed and threatened if they were to vote for the union. So we are taking these complaints very seriously with labor relations, the agricultural labor relations, and we want to make sure that they are aware that this is against the law.
Mm-hmm.
And if in fact this occurred, like many workers have told us, then we're going to have to do something about it, which we are right at the moment. We're fighting for these 171 votes because it could be the difference between winning this very important election or losing.
Mm-hmm.
And the battle's not over. And this has just started, actually.
Okay. I have a request.
Sure.
Could you, because this is all audio, could you spell the name of the company for me? Because I'm not sure people are going to be familiar with it.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Gumar is spelled Gumarra.
Okay, very good. All right. Thank you for that.
No problem.
And you say there was they have 3,000 workers. Were all 3,000 involved in the vote for the union, or one way or the other?
There were some that did not turn out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
We believe a lot of people didn't want to vote. Most of them did, but
mm-hmm.
you know there are circumstances where they probably were not able to, or again, a lot of these workers were intimidated, so they probably didn't even want to vote.
Right.
Because The company, this Gemara company, threatened them with everything from their living situation, their housing, that they will not have housing if they voted for the union, or if they will not, that they will not have jobs the following year if they voted for the union. These were the type of intimidation tactics that they used. They even there was even a rumor spread around that the Border Patrol was in the area, and this buzz created a lot of fear with the workers, that they thought they might even be deported if they were to work to vote for the union. So I mean, considering all these facts, you know, all these factors that went in, especially this, you know, a lot of these people don't have any clue of the legal system here. So we feel we did extremely well, and because it was a very, very close vote. And again, we're just taking this up right now with correct officials, and you know, we hope to have this overturned and in our favor within the coming month.
Okay, is this being? Have you taken this to this? Is it a California State Labor Board of some kind, or is
right,
it a,
right? Yeah. Agricultural labor relations. In fact, let me give you the specific name. I'll give you that. I'll give you that in just a second.
Okay.
But yes, I mean, this is just one of the steps that we're taking, because we want to make sure that there wasn't any of this type of intimidation. It's very important that workers feel safe and not harassed. And you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of claims of you know, the contrary. So
right.
So this is just one of the things that have been happening. Again, this battle's not over. We also got another battle up in the Bay Area, actually, with the Gallo Wine Company. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. We actually had a boycott with the Gallo Wine Company, because we have union members there. And the working conditions were not up to par. We were asking for several... we were asking for wage increases, as basically, and also better healthcare system. And we're able to come to an agreement. We're very happy about that. That was a huge victory for us, and I think both parties ended up being satisfied with the contract that we have.
Well, I, you know, in some ways, I hear you talking with what you've been able to say about Guimara and Gallo and some other things I've been aware of over the last few years, and it seems like that some of the laws have improved to protect farm workers, but it seems like the situation on the ground is quite a bit similar to what it was even in the 1960s and 1970s in terms of, I'm wondering about the ability to actually organize in the fields, and if there's intimidation that goes on there. It must be very hard to get to talk to the workers, such as at Guimara, as you said, to actually talk to them about the union. Can you do it at the workplace, or do you have to do that outside the workplace?
Well, we had half an hour where during their lunch breaks where we had access to those fields.
Okay.
And our organizers would go during this half an hour of lunch and talk to them about what we could do as a union, and how it is that we could go about accomplishing certain things, such as better wage increases and health care and better treatment. I mean, that's a huge one. And in fact, let me give you an example of already the impact that we had just being out there. All of a sudden, when we're out there and word started spreading around that they might actually join the union, the 3,000 workers, they started just getting better treatment right away. I mean, and it's amazing. I mean, they have not officially joined the union, but just the fact that we're out there just helped the workers get the treatment that everyone deserves in the workplace. I mean, because we have testimonies and claims of workers that were even physically abused. I mean, they were shoved, insulted. I had a lady that I interviewed actually tell me that she was grabbed by the hair and pinned to the ground by her boss, which is by her foreman, or mm-hmm. supervisor, I'm sorry. So these are the type of things that were not happening once the union was there. And, you know, again, we hope that the better treatment continues. Mm-hmm. And it's a long, long battle, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And the scheme of things and the landscape per se has changed a lot since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that the conditions are, they are not quite the same, because back now what we're seeing is a lot of undocumented immigrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different workforce,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard. It's very hard to organize something of this magnitude, especially when you take into consideration that a lot of these workers move from town to town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they kind of follow the harvest.
Sure, sure.
A lot of them start out in Coachella, per se,
mm-hmm.
and then they go up to Bakersfield, and they keep on going up north. I mean, they follow the fruit, or the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very difficult thing to work. It's not as easy as it seems.
Right. Well, I don't know if anybody would say it seemed easy on any level. It seems very difficult. And did you say that there are more undocumented workers now than, say, there were in the 60s and 70s? Is that what you said, or did I mishear you?
Yes, that's okay. That's correct. There are, definitely, I mean, I don't have a specific number,
mm-hmm.
But just from being out there in the fields, I would say, you know, 70-80% of the workforce is undocumented.
Wow, that's incredible. Is that a change in government policy, or what's doing that, or is it just the need for workers that's creating that?
Well, it's definitely the need for workers, and in fact, it has become harder for these companies to get workers. So
mm-hmm.
that's why they felt. I mean, they were not especially this year. Conditions were right to go ahead and start this campaign, because there were such few workers this year as compared to others, and that. There was a very good chance for us to go out there, and the workers would still feel like they could have a job even after the election,
mm-hmm.
which they might not have a year or two ago. You know, they would have felt maybe a little more indispensable. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the conditions seem right, so we went ahead and we did this. And again, we're still waiting for the final results. It's not over.
Right. Well, it seems. Elections and having contested elections after the vote happens seems to be something that's quite happening quite a bit in our society these days, the last few years.
Right, yeah. In all levels of...
Yes.
All types of levels. But
yeah.
Again, you know, we're waiting to see, but the other thing we are happy about is I want to go back to the Gallo
mm-hmm. sure.
thing. Mm-hmm. We're very happy with... We got increases a total of 9.5% for
mm-hmm.
all employees, including
mm-hmm.
a 2.5% they received back in April.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very happy about that. They're also, one of the biggest things is that they received 70% reduction in their premium copay for the health plan. So
mm-hmm.
they will just pay $26.88 per month for family coverage.
All right, that's great.
Now
at Gallo, are we talking workers all at different levels in the company, or are we talking primarily the field workers, the ones that are picking the grapes?
Primarily field workers.
Okay, can you give us an idea of a typical farm worker is going to make, say at Gallo, with the contract that you just got? Is that possible? So people can get an idea of what we're talking here.
I don't have a specific number.
Okay, that's all right. I don't want to put you on the spot.
It's definitely going to be. I could actually tell you, for example, that Gumara
mm-hmm.
raised wages for their workers.
All right.
And that was something they did recently, just try to appease things.
Mm-hmm.
And their wages are now, I believe, well, minimum wage $6.75, and right? Am I correct?
That sounds good. Yeah.
$6.75, and they raised the wages 25 cents to $7.
$7.
Yeah. So this increase that they got with Gallo, it's something. It's not quite as much as we wanted. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think one of the most important things is the health coverage. It's
sure.
You got a 70% reduction. So we're very pleased with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we know, it's so expensive going to the doctor, and especially, these families don't have any other types of funds. So it's very important that they have a good health coverage plan.
Can you make any comments on kind of the general attitude towards the farm workers, and maybe even the United Farm Workers in general, or specifically? In California, where you're from, do you see improvements in that? Obviously, you called the Gallo boycott. It didn't last very long. At least, it was nowhere near as long as boycotts lasted in the past. Do you feel a lot of support from the general public, the consumers?
Oh, definitely. Yes. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we were able to. Come to an agreement because fortunately we are an organization that has been respected for decades now,
mm-hmm.
since Caesar's days, and obviously he's a figure larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people have really come to respect and does respect our organization and what it is that we're doing and what it is that we're working for and what we're striving. It's always tough, but it's an uphill battle because unfortunately sometimes politicians are not going to be so cooperative, to say lack of a better word, with what it is that we're trying to accomplish. And it has obviously a lot to do with who's backing them up in their campaigns, and
sure.
A lot of times, obviously, it's big grape grower companies,
mm-hmm.
or any type of farming industry. So they're going to be looking after their well-being, their welfare. So
mm-hmm.
it's but overall, I think the public perception of what it is that we're trying to do is very good, and people will go ahead and back us up when we need them. So we're very pleased with that, and it's a perfect example of what we can still do.
Well, I think that's, I agree with you. I have a sense that when the United Farm Workers come calling, there's a lot of people who are off working on other things or whatever, but they hear the name and they hear the need and they respond.
Right, right. And we're very happy to have these supporters with us, and we're very grateful.
Sure. Also. Of course, you can always use more, I'm sure.
Oh,
and
of course. We can always use more. That's
right.
Definite.
So, is anything? What is there anything that's coming up? Any new efforts you're getting into right now?
Well, I also want to talk about a little bit the 40th anniversary of the grape strike. Right now, we just had a huge month. So right now things are just a little bit calm.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot right now. You never know. I mean,
yeah.
There might be something on the horizon.
Right.
But we had also the celebration just about a week and a half ago of the 40th anniversary of the first grape strike in Delano.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a two-day celebration. We actually honored those first grape strikers,
mm-hmm.
and the farm workers, the very first ones that picketed and marched all the way to Sacramento. And it was a very very nice ceremony we did for these people that are still, a lot of them are still alive. They're now a lot of them in either late 60s,
mm-hmm.
Or so, or even older. But it was a very nice ceremony we had for them up in Delano,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to go basically honor these people for all their for all they did, because had it not been for them, we would not be here today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important that we're aware of that, and that people know of all the sacrifices that these people made 40 years ago when this thing was just starting out.
Right.
And
well,
we're able. I mean, a lot of people sacrificed their homes. I mean, families split up. It was a very trying time,
mm-hmm.
and it's very important that we acknowledge all the effort that these people had and made. I mean, it wasn't just Cesar out there. He, of course, was the leader,
mm-hmm.
but everyone had a say in this union. It's the union of the farm workers, so basically it comes down to what it is that everyone wants to do.
Sure. Well, I know the UFW has a reputation for being one of the most democratic of unions in the country. So that's
yes.
And that's part of also part of Caesar's legacy, as well as I know Dolores Huerta is still around.
Right, right. I had a chance to talk to her while up in Delano,
mm-hmm.
and she's doing very well. And you know, we still have her support as well as. You know, all these other workers, and I mean, it was incredible being out there and seeing all, 40 years of all these people that were out there 40 years are still backing up the union.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about if you share with folks perhaps the website, or if there's any other way that's a good way for them to get involved? I know that you can go to your website and get on your mailing list for alerts and things like that, and that's something I'm sure you encourage people to do.
Oh, most definitely. Our website is UFW.org.
Very simple. We like that.
not very difficult at all.
Mm-hmm.
And You can go there and see what it is that we're up to, the latest, and we also have brief history here and anything, basically everything about the union is here that you might need. So please go ahead and check us out there.
Yes. Okay. Now, anything else you'd like to share with folks? You want folks to know about at this point?
I believe you also wanted me to make some comments in Spanish. Is that correct?
Oh yes. I'm sorry. I did ask that. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So we could. The only thing I'd ask you to do, because as I told you, I don't speak Spanish myself. So say what you. We'll just stay on the line. Say what you want to say, and just let me know when you're done, so I'll know when we're when we should stop the interview. Okay.
Sure. Sure.
Thank you, Edgar. Go ahead.
Okay. Este es Edgar Pagasa de la Unión de Campesinos. Estoy aquí en las oficinas de Glendale. Este mensaje es para todo el público latino que nos está escuchando por esta tarde. Hablando más que nada para que nos vayan a visitar en nuestro sitio de internet ufw.org y para que se informe más acerca de lo que nosotros hacemos, nuestra organización, qué es lo que queremos lograr y más que nada lo que queremos lograr es el bienestar de nuestros hermanos campesinos que todos los días están luchando en, nada más para sobrevivir, poner comida en la mesa. Así es que si tienen cualquier ayuda de manera de ayudarnos, háganlo por favor y visítenos en ufw.org. Eso es ufw.org. Gracias.
That sounded like the end.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you very much,
No Edgar. Problem, Scott. And we'll stay in touch. If you need anything else, please let me know.
Okay, I may call you again to talk about some other issues. And please make it mutual. If you've got something that you feel you want to share and get people energized about, let's touch base, okay?
Yeah, definitely. I'll make sure I send you anything that we have up on our way. Actually, you know what? There is one more thing.
Okay.
I almost completely forgot.
Okay, that's all right.
There is, we're going to have October 16th. We're going to have what is called El Día del Pueblo, which is the day of the town, I guess,
mm-hmm.
if you want to translate it mm-hmm. into English. And this is a joint effort by the soccer team Chivas USA,
mm-hmm.
which plays at the Home Depot Center in Carson,
mm-hmm.
and the UFW, and it's going to be a day to it's going to be a day of music and trying to put Latino people out there, what their efforts are,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have the band called Los Tigres del Norte, which is a regional Mexican band, very, very popular and very famous in Mexico and here as well. I'm not sure about Oregon, but they are in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to be out there playing a free concert after the game that will be played by Chivas USA.
Mm-hmm.
And after the game, there will be a concert, and Chivas is helping the union with this, and going to the United Farm Workers, so we're very happy to have this type of help.
Okay, so this is a fundraiser for
it's
or is it more of a celebration?
It's a joint effort.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you sort of call it a fundraiser. They're going to be giving us half of the sales of tickets or proceeds going to the union and
okay.
the farm workers.
All right.
We are very happy with that as well.
Okay, very good. Well, hopefully when we get this interview out on the internet, it'll connect with some folks in California or people other places that are in a position to be able to join you there.
Yes, that will be great.
Okay.
Chance to be out there October 16th. It'll be a very, very fun day. It was good.
Okay.
Good sports match and a good concert afterwards.
All right, sounds like a great idea. So is there information about this on the website as well?
You could actually, there isn't one. You could go to Chivas USA
okay.
Website.
All right.
And you could check it out there.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you. I'm glad you got that last part in there.
Yes, I almost forgot about that.
Okay, well.
I would have beaten myself.
Oh, well, you know, you can always, yeah, some other time maybe if you didn't
right.
get it this time. But we'll, let's definitely talk again, Edgar. I appreciate you taking your time and sharing with us what's going on. And I think it's important. Obviously, the farm workers, unfortunately, are the folks that are often on the bottom of the pile economically, and which means often people don't know what's going on, don't pay attention, and the more we can get people aware of what's happening, the better for everybody.
Well, and I'm very glad that you're helping us out here and broadcasting this, because like you said, it is very important, and we still have a long battle ahead of us. So
yeah, that's
thank
for
you.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Edgar. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.